Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behind the badge.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Paul Lisnick, Behind the Curtain, my opportunity to step away from the worlds of politics and law that you watch me cover on television every day to a arguably much more fun world of entertainment and theater and the arts. And this is a fun one because depending on your age, and if you're watching a podcast, maybe you're younger, I'm not sure, but you are going to know this guest who is coming to Chicago soon, and you know him from all sorts of movies and TV and soap operas and plays and just everything. Garrett Clayton joins me prior to his visit here to Chicago. We'll tell you when. Garrett, so good to talk. I've been watching your Instagram videos forever. It's nice to see you.
It's nice to see you too. Thank you so much. I'm glad you like watching the stuff online.
It's very fun. And you know, you put a lot of time into that, it seems. And you've got these, every time I watch it, I see the dance routines, which my partner's a dancer, so he, you know, but I'm not me. I mean, how long does it take you to put one of those things together?
It really depends on the dance. I mean, I've been doing music theater and dancing for about 20 years now. And yeah. I like to think of digital entertainment as just another leg of entertainment now. When, you know, when I first started this, social media didn't exist. And so now that half of entertainment is online, I always tell young people it's important that you acknowledge that they're all legitimate. They're just different versions of each other.
Do you find that you're reaching sort of a whole new generation? I'm thinking of just some folks I know, comedians, especially in that world, who really mm-hmm. have this whole presence on TikTok and Instagram and stuff. And it's how they get exposed to the world. I think it's an amazing thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is, as time has gone on, I have people who will know me from movies and TV and musicals and things. But then I have a whole other group of people who will come up and be like, oh, hey, I love your TikToks. I didn't know you were an actor. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, I mean, didn't know you were an actor. I love that.
But crazy.
But hey, but then they check out your stuff, right?
Yeah.
So in doing my little homework on you, I always thought you were a California boy. Whatever the truth is, you're a Midwestern guy.
Yeah. A lot of people always are very surprised to find out I'm a Detroit native.
But you've been out in California. Why? In fact, you went to college out there, I think, right?
I did not. I went to Oakland University in Michigan, in Rochester.
Oh, I thought that was a California school.
No, I know. It's, you would think just because there's Oakland, California, and the confusion happens a lot out here too. But I grew up in Michigan until I was about 19.
Yeah. And so you get in it. First of all, let's talk about the fact that you're coming to Chicago. Let's put that out there. A little later in September, Thursday and Friday, September 26th and 27th, you're going to be at the Venus Cabaret, which is, I'm assuming you haven't seen that space before.
I have not seen it. I'm excited to be there in person.
It's a really cool space that Mercury Theater sort of opened up, I think post-pandemic. Maybe it was here before then, but it's just such great for kids. They've done Lady Day. They've done just so many of these wonderful, intimate presentations there. Jay Rodriguez recently there, Alexandra Billings. So I think you're going to have a great time there. I do have to ask you, it's Thursday, Friday at 8 p.m., September 26th and 27th, and then Sunday, September 29th at 5 p.m. You have a Saturday conflict, don't you?
I don't. It just, they actually did me the favor because I was supposed to do a different weekend. And then I had to shift everything because I ended up booking, I'm going to be headlining a fashion show at Fashion Week in New York on the 14th, but I'll be at Fashion Week the 8th to the 15th, just doing the event circuit. So I had to shift all of my show dates, and I was trying, because I also have show dates in LA and Palm Springs. So I was trying to kind of group like a period of time where I just got to focus on doing the show. So it ended up working out in my favor, and I'm very grateful.
Yeah. And I'm just making a big deal about it because I want people to know that it's Thursday, Friday, Sunday.
They wanted to make sure I was okay. They were like, you know, we do have a Saturday conflict if we do that weekend. And I was like, hey, you're doing me the favor, so I'll make whatever you can work. I'm sorry. I have to shift things a bit.
Ah, we'll show you around town. Well, you'll be just fine in Chicago. You're no stranger to Chicago.
No, actually, when I first started working in the industry, I was 13 and I was doing commercial modeling for, I did a runway for Guess. I did an international highlight ad. I'd been doing all this work, but that was because of greyhounding to Chicago when I was a kid and auditioning.
Greyhounding. Ouch.
Me and my mom, we would be on the Greyhound every week. I'd be doing my homework on the bus.
I love it. So the show is called Garrett Clayton From Hero to Villain. Now, one would think it might be villain to hero. I don't know. But so tell me a little bit about the genesis of that title. And I know we're getting singing and dance and all sorts of stuff, but you have such a variety of talents available. What are we in for?
Well, thank you. When I was going through with my music director, what are every career will always have staples that, you want to honor the work that you've done and people come to hear those things. I remember I did a concert in October in New York during the pandemic, and it was a Disney Villains concert. And because I have a well-known music video online of it's a cover of Spell on You from Hocus Pocus. I didn't sing that, and then I had people come up after, and they were like, "I specifically bought tickets to watch you sing the song live, and you sang everything but that song." And I was like, "It's not my concert. I'm not in charge." So that's where the birth of Hero to Villain was very much. We went through the catalog, and I'm realizing an age, and also reflective of a lot of what happens to queer entertainers or performers in the industry. You end up playing all these villain roles. It's like Divine being the birth of Ursula, and the very iconic Tim Curry Frankenfurter role in Rocky Horror, and all these things that I'm starting to really have touchstones in my life as I get older. I've with like Hocus Pocus, and I've done Frankenfurter, and I was Pennywise in the It musical the past few years, and now I'm the devil in the Exorcist musical parody singing the, I don't know if, am I allowed to swear on this?
Well, we don't want to bleep you, so maybe use it another word.
Well, the famous line from The Exorcist, "Your mother sucks."
Yes.
Yeah. So there's
If you
the,
don't know it, look it up. It's easy enough to find.
I sing the song based off of that line.
Oh, fabulous.
And so, and they're actually talking about doing an official off-Broadway run at New World Stages now, which I would go and join them for a little bit. But
Fabulous. And
so
by the
now,
way, the way the TV has worked with that line is I think they changed it to socks that smell.
good. I can't wait to sing that on stage.
I want to give you something to use for the future the next time you have have the interview.
But yeah, so that's kind of how this all birthed, because I did all these like ingenue parts, and now I'm just getting older, and they're like, "Well, get in your lane, gay boy."
And you know, it's funny. Of course, you're very open about talking about that. So I just want to tap into that a little bit. You actually came out in 2018. But you're the early part of your career, I know the commercials and stuff, but where the world kind of found you was in the Disney world. And so, you know, you've got the Teen Beach movie and Teen Beach 2 and all of that. And, you know, we know Disney has the image that they have very family, very whatever. So I'm sort of curious, did you realize you were gay as life went on, or did you always know? But because you were in a Disney-oriented world, it was something that you needed to be very careful about in terms of disclosure.
Technically, I came out when I was 16, and then when I moved to Hollywood, I didn't realize it was going to be as much of a struggle as it was to be a queer person in Hollywood. And
Oh,
I
so
had
when you moved there, you were prepared to just be openly gay.
to a degree, yeah. And then I was sat down by old representation, and and they were like, "We need to know if you're gay." And and then I could feel the energy, and I was like, I didn't really know how to answer it at the time. When you're 19 and you've moved 3,000 miles away from home, and I sold everything I had in a garage sale.
And you
So
want to
I
be a
was,
star.
well, and the problem, especially at the time, opportunity, it only knocks once, and most of the time it's given to you by people who are in control of it for you. Like, I didn't have the visibility or the resume to have it for myself yet. And not having that autonomy, you're put in these positions of people with power, and you have to They're basically telling you either compromise your morals or you don't get opportunity. So I had to make peace with the fact that they were like, well, nobody, then I'm just repeating what was told to me. Nobody wants to fuck the gay guy. They want to shop with him. And I was like, wow, how am I gonna handle that? And so, and at the time I was in a relationship with my now husband. So, and everybody thought my big secret was being gay, when really the big secret was that I'm protecting the egg of my relationship. And so I was fine with that, feeling like, all right, they want to control this image of me. As long as I know that my relationship is safe, I can get through this until I have enough success that I'm able to come out, because coming out doesn't mean the death of my career. And so that was kind of the weird struggle and push and pull I dealt with as a young person, because if I didn't go through that to get the opportunity to do the things I'm doing now, they wouldn't have let me in the door.
And it's a very different world now. It's amazing how fast things have happened, right? I mean, go back to 2015, gay marriage, and a year before that, where you had people like President Obama who wouldn't have publicly even said they were in favor of it. So things changed very quickly. When you look back on that, do you say, look, I did it the way I had to do it, so be it? Do you have any regrets? Do you wish you had handled it differently? Or if a young person came to you also today and said, I'm gay, well, I don't know what to do, if they asked me, what advice would you give?
I mean, at the time it was very different. I mean, when I first moved out here, social media didn't exist. The networks were thriving, and there, I mean, it was a totally different industry than it is now. Now we're in a day and age where if somebody doesn't believe in you and your authenticity, then you probably shouldn't be working with them, because now there are plenty of people who in management agents who want to celebrate the things that make you unique, because it's going to make you more successful down the line, and it also mentally a healthier person. So I always tell young people, not just seek opportunity safely, but it's kind of like those phrases that kind of bop around online a lot, where if you have an item and you want to go sell it to somebody and they want to give you a dollar, you take it to a pawn shop and they want to give you 100, and then you go to the right place that knows the value of it and they'll give you 1,000. It's like, go find the people who treat you like 1,000. Otherwise, don't work with them.
And tough for people who, maybe did what you did. They pack up their car, they go to LA, they're trying to make it. And I'm just saying, I guess what I'm realizing is it's a very real struggle. Do I be true to myself? Do I do what I need to do to break into this industry? And of course, I don't have to tell you the history of the Rock Hudsons and the people from, Hollywood's grand era, who all had to lead secret lives. It was the, worst kept secret in Hollywood, but yet the public never knew about them, or they'd never
There's
worked
still
with
big
them.
stars who are stuck in that today.
That's right. Let's name them. No, I'm kidding. Let's just
I won't do that.
okay. I wouldn't ask you to. So when we see you, let's again, for folks who are saying, I want to know what's the guy going to do. Give, it's all nice, serious stuff you're talking about. But so, I mean, again, you're a dancer, you're a singer. The space is an intimate space. What can we expect?
You can expect a really fun night. We're going to be going through a whole genre of music, of hero to ingenue ballads and a couple originals. And I've been working on with some incredible producers and musicians in Nashville for the last couple of years, who work with people like Celine Dion and NSYNC and J-Lo, and well, I've been making music with them for a while. And so I'll do one of my originals that I created with them. And we're working with my music director, who's a wonderful person. We're making a song based off of all of the young people who comment on my social media saying me coming out ruined their childhood. So we're making a comedy number called Garrett Clayton Ruined My Childhood. And I think there's going to be a lot of tongue in cheek there, in I think we're working on building a really well-rounded show, and by the end of it, we sing a rock version of 99 Red Balloons to honor Pennywise, and doing
So we're getting a bit of autobiographies in this.
a little bit, yeah. I'll get some It Takes Two from Hairspray in there. We have a Teenage Movie medley. I sing the entire plot of a movie I did called King Cobra. I try and sing the whole thing in under 5 minutes. It's going to be a fun night.
Do you need me to join you on stage for a duet of Timeless for me? Timeless to me?
Do you want to?
I don't. I think Bruce Valanche had it better. Or Rich.
Oh, I love Bruce.
He's fabulous.
Yeah.
Yeah, and very fun to talk to as well. So as you put this together, by the way, I mean, do you, is there a message behind them? I mean, just something that you describe it. It sounds like I want people to take away message, or is it like, no, it's just a fun night?
I try and always balance these things. I think, I don't want people to feel like I'm sticking them in the mud for an hour, 15 minutes. I want, I'll get serious a little bit, but I also want to make I want people to have fun and feel like they had a well-rounded night. I want I guess the message of this show at the end of it is authenticity is the thing that'll make you happy. And trying to control what people think about you is it's fruitless and there's no point. So just focus on yourself and being a good person and living a happy life.
Part of your bio references you as an activist. And so you do things in life to make a difference in the future. I'm guessing that's something that once it's in you, it just becomes part of who you are, whether it's charity work or appearances. I get this. Even just in talking to you right now, I get the sense that you understand you have a bigger obligation than just to make money for performances, kind of a thing.
Totally. I feel very lucky that I get to make money and doing what I love, but it also sees a lot of eyeballs. I get messages from a lot of people that whether it's an older generation who were living in a time where they couldn't be open and honest about who they were for whatever reason, for safety, for mental health, for work-related reasons, and they've really encouraged me and said like, I wish there was somebody like you when I was younger who would have let me see that there's a space for me. I have younger people who either say it gave them the courage to come out, or maybe it gives them courage that one day they can. I mean, the messages I get are so incredible, and I know what responsibility has come with the visibility I have. And I would probably say that I think one of my best friends growing up, it was really important to us in high school. We were a part of a lot of like activism and charity groups. It used to be called Building with Books. I think Build On now, but where they go and like build schools in countries and areas where they don't have them. And so, because education is power, and so that was such a big part of their mission. But then they also taught us do things locally, like we would go replant trees or try and help fix up like abused women and children's centers. Or it was real, like a lot of those things were instilled in me when I was younger. Like you can have great, wonderful things in your life, but what are you doing with it? Otherwise, it's like it's wasted. I don't want to waste what I've been given. I feel like the visibility I have is a gift, and it's something I want to do whatever good I can in the world with.
Well, growing up, I think you said Detroit. I think you grew up, it was in Dearborn, right? Do I have that right?
Yes, actually, I'm kind of all over. My parents were divorced, so Redford, Dearborn Heights, Canton, kind of, I kind of moved all over
Okay. Yeah.
metro.
And well, the reason I'm asking is because I recently interviewed Chasten Buttigieg, and who of course grew up in Michigan and all that. I'm sort of curious when I think of your life and where you are now and what you've done, did you grow up in a world of support in Michigan? Chasten might have a little bit of a different story when he was growing up. What did you face? Or did you say, no, I always grew up with the support of my family and friends?
I would say it was very difficult, especially at the time I was growing up. I was bullied relentlessly. Even I didn't even have to come out. Even if they thought it, they would hound me for it, whether it was trailing in the hallways or vandalizing my house or trying to fight me in parking lots. It didn't matter if I came out or not. People just were up in arms about the fact that I might be gay.
Wow.
Fake Facebook accounts when Facebook was a big thing, or MySpaces getting hacked and people trying to mess with me. It was like I found my own secret queer family, and so during the weeks I'd be a good student, and then on the weekends in high school I had a fake ID and I would go hide at the gay clubs and be with the people who really love me for who I am. And I'm not recommending young people go sneak into clubs. It's just at the time, that's where I found my community and that's where I felt safe.
Yeah.
But I did, my mom was always my number one champion in this world. And it took a long time for some other family to get on board and to realize the way that they were viewing the world was small. And I'm really proud of the progress the people I love have made.
Yeah, I years ago I played piano bars and stuff and nobody knew. change your name a little bit, whatever. And I can remember being at a family thing, and like I had to go to work, and they were like, "What are you doing? Where are you going?" Because there's this sort of this shell you put around you a little bit. So hopefully things are better. I have to ask you, when I just looked at all the things you do, and I said people know you from Disney and these things, but I know you worked with Al Pacino, and I don't know if you get asked about that a lot, whatever. But I'm just a huge Pacino fan. I think he's amazing. So can you give us some insight on what it's like to work with the consummate actor Pacino? And Judith Light, by the way, that Judith Light was also in that show, also magnificent.
Oh yeah, no small feat to always mention Judith
Right.
Light. She they're both I look that time it was about a 2 year moment in my life when we were doing the show on and off, workshopping it. They really wanted to, give it a bigger as big of a life as it could, because it was about the latter year of Tennessee Williams' life,
Right.
written by somebody who was with Tennessee Williams for 10 years as his personal assistant, and Dotson Rader, who is a brilliant person. And Al was so kind. He was so down to earth and gentle with all of us while focusing on the work. I think he was, at least for a performer and an actor for myself, getting to work with him, he really solidified making every moment feel honest and not focusing on the fact that, oh, you might switch a word out. And I know some writers are very precious about their words, and I don't disagree that they put them in that order for a reason. But after watching Al Pacino for 2 years of my life, focusing on what is the honesty of the moment, and if I can say this, I can talk about this one moment in 10,000 different ways. All of those ways can be honest as long as I'm being honest about how what I'm doing. So it really made me less precious about the words and more focused on, like, what is the moment about and how can I always give it honesty and truth. Al Pacino refuses to say any line the same way twice. And I thought that was so incredible to watch, because we're doing, in a play, you're living the same story over and over again every night. And he, in his dedication to making each moment feel honest and new and fresh, was it was really something that me taking away made me a smarter and stronger performer.
Did you ever get him to say "ooh ah"?
I don't think he did, but
Come on, Al, give me one. I recently interviewed the cast of a show here at Steppenwolf, starring Laurie Metcalf and other people. And the only reason I bring that up is because to appear with Laurie Metcalf, I mean, she's right up there in terms of amazing talent. And I wondered whether some of the younger stars who were with her kind of freaked out and being with the talent. The truth is, they all held their own. They all matched her. So I'm sort of curious, being there with the Pacino, and you are a star in your own right. He is Al Pacino. Is any of that in your mind like, "Holy crap, I'm appearing with Al Pacino"? You're like, "No, and he's with me, and we're gonna, this is not a, or is it a freak out thing?"
I feel like I've had that freak out in a way that it was right at the beginning, where I was like, oh my God, Al Pacino's like a foot away from me. But, at some point you're showing up to work and you want to do a good job, just like any other job. And so, you have to let that the newness of that melt away very fast. Otherwise, you're getting wrapped up in things that honestly are more, they have nothing to do with the person. It's like that at that point, I'm making it about me, and it's like, it shouldn't be about me. It should be about the work. So I tried to, have my fangirl moment, and then I was like, feel it really quick, and then let it wash away and focus on the job. And then after, that stuff moved out of the way, there were so many great moments. I have so many memories of us just sitting in a room and we're talking about our families and we go get lunch, and he's just a kind dad and a good person, and he really has good intentions. And I think he's, yeah, I just have I don't think of him as say hello to my little friend. I think of him as like, hey, let's go get a burger. Let's go
Well,
talk about
and that's the
life.
way it should be. Mel Brooks always told this great story of he was in awe of Cary Grant. And so there was, Brooke tells an hour to tell the story, but basically Cary Grant calls him. He doesn't know how to handle it. Oh my God, it's Cary Grant on the phone. And it happens again and again. And by about the fourth or fifth call, "Mr. Brooks, Cary Grant's on the phone. Tell him I'm not in."
Yeah.
enough of the greatness. So because your career has, I mean, you were in Days of Our Lives. I mean, you've done everything from soap operas to musicals to whatever. I get a feeling that maybe it's because I'm being spoiled by your videos on, I'm not a TikTok person, but on Instagram where I see them. Is this who you are? I mean, if I give you an option of saying we got a dramatic play for you, you can go be with Al Pacino, or you can do the, you know, we're going to put you in a soap opera, or we have Disney films for you. But where does Garrett Clayton come alive now?
I think when I was younger, they kept saying I had to focus on one thing, otherwise I would never be successful. And now I realize that my superpower has turned out to be that I just love what I do, and I love any chance to do it. So I think it's made me feel so much stronger as an entertainer and as an artist that. Yeah, like I just finished shooting a movie last month, and now I'm gonna go do, my one man show Cabaret in September. It's like I get to, I think the variety of it is keeping my, as one of my great acting coaches said, being an actor is like being a handyman with a toolbox. You got to keep all the tools sharp. And I think the variety is what keeps all my tools sharp.
Tell us, I'll go back to the show. You see, I like to keep going back to the show. So for people watching us who want to learn a little bit about you, but also are doing this because they're trying, do I buy tickets? Which the answer is yes. And they can come see you on September 26, 27, or 29 at Venus Cabaret. What kind of music? It's the stage is, you know, relatively small. It's intimate space. So is it a pianist? How are you working with the music situation?
Yeah, so it's me and my music director, a dear friend of mine, Greg Neighbors, who's an incredible music director. We've worked on, I think, six musicals together. He's going to do Mozart in the West End and Scissorhands in the West End
Oh,
pretty
wow.
soon leading up. I'm so grateful he said yes to this. But we're doing a wide breadth of music here. We have an acoustic sounding version of Sweet Child of Mine that's very very beautiful that he rearranged for this. And we have some, the like I said, the rock version of Red Balloons, and we're kind of open up with a Candor and Ebb medley just to honor the musicals
Oh,
correctly.
cool.
Yeah, so I'm trying
So
to
you've got the
cover.
traditional broad, I mean, there's traditional Broadway in there. There's more modern stuff. I mean, you're covering a bunch of genres.
Oh, totally. We're definitely covering genres, and the original song I'm going to do is titled "Boy with a Broken Heart," about, and I'll probably, I'll be a little bit more. I'm trying to think of the right word. More honest and open about. Everyone has failed opportunities in life and in their work, and we, especially in acting, I probably auditioned for 1,000 things. My mom always told me, "You're going to audition for 100, and you'll only get one yes if you're lucky. So if you're okay with those odds, then you're allowed to do this." And she wasn't wrong, because I've gotten some amazing jobs. There's other amazing ones that, I don't talk about, but people would be probably very surprised to find out that I was up for Hunger Games and Divergent and Riverdale and all of these things that have gone on to be, very in the zeitgeist. And there's some things you book that you get to be a part of, and some things that you just have to make peace that they're going to move on without you. And
You know, and I hope that there's young actors, and I'll say this when I describe the program, young actors who are watching us, and I interview a lot of them, talk to a lot of them, and they have
yeah.
dreams and they have hopes. And so many of them will put in their videos on Instagram or something, you know, they're doing their 10th video audition for the day that they're sending out. And it sounds like part of your advice is it's okay, keep doing it. It's okay that things don't come through.
The best advice I ever got was just focus on the work. It's not about booking the job. It can never, you have to stop it trying to control and decide that every audition you're doing to get the job. Every audition has to be about showing these people that you know how to do your job. And there's no wrong version of the characters. It's just whatever resonates with the person who's casting it and directing it and producing it. Who is the person that brings their version of this character to life? But you can have 10 people who are all doing great different interpretations of the same thing. It's just who resonates with the team in the lane of their vision, And it's so important to release trying to say, like, I want to give them the right answer. You don't know what the right answer is for them. And nine times, there's a lot of times where they don't even know what they want and what pieces fit together and who meshes well in the chemistry part of it. Cause you, I've been in for TV shows into very amazing roles that I ended up not getting because the chemistry with each person is so important when they match people up that, like, you can be doing the scenes wonderfully on your own, but when they put the chemistry together, it just so happens that a different person meshes well with the other person so there's just so many factors that go into this that you have to release it. It has to just be about the work.
I don't mean this to be an unfair question, but you're being very open and candid, so I'll go ahead and ask it. But can you point to a role, be it movie, stage, TV, whatever it was, you were convinced it was yours, it should be yours, you didn't get it, and you had to deal with it? And I'm saying that because I want young actors to hear this answer, because every one of them would go, I've got one.
Oh, totally. I mean, there's been a couple Broadway shows I've been in the finals for where I've went for rounds, months. But I could say the same for like Hairspray Live. I was in the audition process for 3 months. Teen Beach Movie was a 3 month audition process. Even recently, I was in the audition process to be the Marty McFly for Back to the Future.
Oh, the
I would,
Broadway, the musical that's traveling?
yeah, no, the Broadway show.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yes. Yeah.
Yes. So I was up for the Broadway show for months, and I went down to finals, and it ended up not going my way. But the same thing happened with Newsies. I was in for that for months. And I remember when I was in the middle of doing Teen Beach Movie press, I was going to final callbacks for Newsies. So, I mean, some jobs work out and some don't, and that's okay.
Did you get one you didn't think you should get? Like, I'm not right for this, but you got the gig?
I ended up doing a movie with Nick Cage where
Oh
the
yeah, I
movie's
saw that.
a little crazy. But I ended up booking the role of the drug dealer motorcycle gang
It
rider.
has Garrett Clayton written all over it.
I was so excited just to do a movie with Nick Cage that I was like, I'm going to do enough character work that when people watch this, they'll be like, yeah, he's not doing bad. I'm just surprised he got the part.
Is there somebody you'd love to work with you haven't worked with yet? You're like, God, one day.
Oh my God, there's so many people I would love to work with. I think, oh my God, how do I even pick? I mean, everybody wants to work with Meryl Streep. She just seems so lovely and so brilliant. I think, yeah, Meryl Streep. I would love to work with Nicole Kidman, I think.
Oh, cool.
I've always wanted to work with Jim Carrey, but I don't know if he's going to do stuff outside of Sonic, or maybe he will because he's doing The Grinch. Maybe he'll have another renaissance where he'll decide to go do more. But people like Jim Carrey, Ben Stiller, I just really love like wide ranged actors. I think they're so much fun. I want to have careers like that.
Feel like we should get you in Only Murders in the Building. For some reason, you would just be good somewhere in there.
That'd be lovely. If you know somebody who's casting, you let me know.
I
Actually, you
will.
know what? There are two teams I want to work with. The people who make White Lotus and the teams who make all the horror anthologies every October for Netflix. You know, like The Fall of the House of Usher and
Yeah, and you've done a little horror stuff too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I have a horror project in development right now. Oh my God, the team that makes those horror anthologies is so brilliant. I just think they're making some top-notch stuff.
I think Ryan Murphy needs to know you're available.
I think he does. He's auditioned me enough, just never cast me in things.
Oh, really? Is that right? Oh, so that's good. You
Yeah.
had that a little bit in mind when you said that. I love that. Let's go back to the show. For people who are going to show up and they're hoping they get the time I have with you to sort of ask what I want, which is great. Will this the venue will allow that is to say the intimacy will allow it. What will be your attitude about taking questions from the audience, letting them ask you things, that sort of stuff? Or is it like, sorry, my show is set.
Oh.
Sit quietly.
I always leave room for things to be a little bit open. I worked at the venue Rockwell in LA for about 5, 6 years, which is very intimate in the style. Did loads of musicals and cabarets in that venue. So I'm pretty the cabaret space I'm pretty comfortable with. If somebody shouts a question from the audience, I'm probably just gonna answer it. Or if the question has nothing to do with the mood, I'll probably be like, hey, ask that again when I get to this part.
Oh, and I didn't mean anybody to heckle because that's not nice. But I know I mean, so it is part of the show where you say, hey, what let me open it up. What would you like to know? Or or not really, because there is a meet and greet with you afterwards, and so that people
Yes.
can sign up for, and I take pictures, and I'm sure that's where you'll get the questions. I'm just curious whether the show itself, because if the answer is not really, I've got my show down, I got to do my show, then I want people to really consider that meet and greet if they want the opportunity to, in a proper way, ask you what they want to ask you.
It's probably gonna, if they want to ask larger questions, it'll have to go to the meet and greet just because I know time-wise, I have to fit my set within a certain time period so that we can do the meet and greet, a Q&A picture moment after. And I have to be very aware of that just when building the show out of respect to the venue and what they
Yeah.
asked me to deliver.
So where are we likely to, when you get back here to Chicago, of course, Candiality, you probably eat well. But Candiality is right next to the theater, which is like old time candy and stuff. So I'll be there before I come to see you. But when you get here, where are we going to find, are you going to be at Lou Malnati's Pizza? Where are you going to be on the architectural boat tour? What are you going to do?
You'll probably find me at Ed DeBevick's getting yelled at by the waiters.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Long
I
time
love that
stay.
place.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
Do you prefer Detroit pizza over Chicago? Proper answer, no.
I don't know. I just like pizza. I don't really, I don't need to fight about it. I just like them both.
Oh, I'm not starting to
I
fight. I'm just curious whether
know
I
you're
wouldn't do
not
that. I'll eat
fighting about
anything,
it.
right? Right.
Oh
I
no, I
wasn't
have
actually
some
sure
friends
what
who will.
Detroit. I wasn't sure what Detroit pizza was until I sort of had some, but.
Oh yeah. Oh no, I have some friends who will, if you say anything but whatever pizza they like, they'll stop you for an hour and be like, talk to me about this. And I'm like, I love you guys. I don't want to talk about pizza for an hour. I just want to eat the pizza and I want to move on with my life.
I love it. Well, I hope you're here on that Saturday that you're not performing, because that does give you a day to sort of do some things and look around. And as you know, there's so much, and the weather's going to, I mean, we just don't get cold here until like December, January now. So
Sure.
you're in for a good time. Yeah, it's, I'm not saying there's climate change. I'm just saying. But for people who want to see you, let me tell them they can get tickets at mercurytheaterchicago.com, mercurytheaterchicago.com, or thebiggaycabaret.com. Both of those probably take you to the same place. The show dates again are Thursday and Friday, September 26th and 27th. Those are at 8 p.m. Stop at Candiality, which closes at 8, and then go see right next door with all the popcorn and the candy. And on Sunday, September 28th at 5 p.m., same show for all, right? Whether we come at 5 o'clock on a Sunday or we get you at 8, we're going to get the same show.
Oh, totally. It's going to be a great time. We're going to have a great time.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to having you here. When I saw you on the list, I immediately went to the folks who plan it and said, I'd love to talk to Garrett. And thank you for being open to it and for saying, yeah, let's do it so that we get to do it. So I'm encouraging everybody who's watching this, listening to this, because they can do either, to check you out at mercurytheaterchicago.com to get tickets, or biggaycabaret.com. Have a great time in Chicago. I'll see you while you're here. And I'm looking forward to shaking your hand in person.
Thank you so much, Paul. This has been great.
Thank you. Garrett Clayton. We're coming for from here, hero to villain. You're my hero. We'll see you soon in Chicago. Thank you, Garrett.
Thank you.